God dying on a cross? How can you expect me, a modern, sophisticated human being, to believe that nearly 2,000 years ago, a man who you say is the Son of God died on a cross to save me from my sin? Do you really think I'm foolish enough to buy that line? If the Son of God had really come into this world, he would have come in power to set up a political earthly kingdom. Or at least, he wouldn't have died a common criminal's death on a cross. I'm much too wise to believe anything like that. There are still people in our world who believe just like that. And apparently there were people since the beginning of Christianity itself who held that same type of worldly wisdom in high regard. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, faced several groups in the church who, although they had accepted the message of the cross, they were Christians, they still held this type of worldly wisdom in high regard. They prided themselves in their own worldly systems of wisdom. They prided themselves in their own intelligence. They boasted, and all of this boasting had led to deep party divisions within the Corinthian church. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chides the congregation for their boasting and for the deep divisions to which it had led in the congregation. And he does it by showing them that the wisdom of God greatly diverges from the wisdom of the world. Would you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Because Paul clearly sets forth in this passage the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Please follow with me as I read. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. As I look around our campus today, I still see that we, even seminary students right here on the Holy Hump, have a tendency to boast in our own wisdom, our own intelligence, our own accomplishments. It's not uncommon to hear people say, right here, well, I am of the MDiv school, or I am of the RE school, I am of the music school, or heaven forbid, I am of the DMin or the PhD school. Humorous perhaps, but I wonder if the Apostle Paul was here this morning, he wouldn't chide us just as he did the Corinthian congregation so long ago. And I wonder if his message to us wouldn't be the same as it was to them. Only the cross shows the true wisdom of God. Paul begins in the text that is before us by pointing out that the message of the cross confounds worldly wisdom. Paul depicts the cross of Christ as an affront to human intelligence. The world, with its own systems of wisdom, rejects the cross of Christ as the wisdom of God. To the world, just like Jim said a moment ago, the cross is foolishness. A good translation of that word foolishness would be silliness. When the world tries to think of a Savior being crucified on the cross, it's silly to them. They can't understand it. In fact, Paul sings out in praise of God's wisdom in verse 20 with a string of rhetorical questions. He asks, "Where is the wise man?" You see, the Greeks prided themselves in their pursuit of wisdom. They sought wisdom as a virtue, primarily to be obtained by the rational thought processes. But Paul doesn't stop there. He asks again, "Where is the scholar?" The NIV translation translates this word scholar. The best translation would be scribe, as it's translated in the King James Version. For you see, the scribes were those who were highly trained in the Jewish law. They prided themselves in their own system of wisdom, which consisted of their knowledge of and legalistic obedience to the law. Paul asks a third time, "Where is the philosopher of this age?" The philosophers of Paul's time were those who were highly trained in Greek rhetoric. They were the expert debaters of their time. They prided themselves in their own philosophical jargon, in their own system of wisdom that rejected the message of the cross. But Paul goes on to ask another question. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Each one of these groups prided themselves in their own system of wisdom. But Paul said the message of the cross had confounded their forms of worldly wisdom. He shows exactly why they were so foolish in verse 22. Look at that with me. Verse 22 says, "Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom." You see, both the Jews and the Greeks had decided based on their own frail system of wisdoms how God had to reveal himself to man. Jews look for miraculous signs, especially the setting up of an earthly political kingdom by the Messiah. The Greeks sought wisdom as a virtue through the rational thought processes. But Paul says they are foolish and they are made foolish by the message of the cross because God had revealed himself in a way that was so paradoxical, that was so unexpected, that was so unique that the worldly system of wisdoms could not accept its message. God had revealed himself in the cross of Christ. Listen to the paradoxes of Christ as expressed by the great preacher R.G. Lee. He was the light, yet he hung in darkness upon the cross. He was the life, yet he poured out his soul unto death. He was the Son of God, yet he died a felon's death. He was holy and undefiled. He knew no sin, yet he was made sin when he took the guilty sinner's place. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, yet he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was the Ancient of Days, yet he was cut off in the midst of his days. He was the mighty God, yet he became a man and was crucified through weakness. Does not the message of the cross confound all forms of worldly wisdom? The question to you today is, what are you boasting in? Both the Jews and the Greeks boasted in their own system of wisdom. But what are you boasting in? Are you boasting this morning in your own little system of wisdom? Are you boasting this morning in your own intelligence? Are you boasting this morning in your own GPA? Are you boasting in your own devotion to God as did the Jews? If you're going to boast at all this morning, let us boast in what the Apostle Paul boasted in, the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in developing this deep contrast between the world's wisdom and the wisdom of God as explained in the cross. To the believer, the cross is the power and wisdom of God, but to the world, it is mere foolishness. So in addition to confounding the world's wisdom, the message of the cross expresses the wisdom of God. Paul is utterly convinced that the cross is the truest expression of the wisdom of God. And that for one particular reason. because it saves those who accept the crucified Christ by faith. In fact, the culmination of his attack on the worldly wisdom is seen in verse 21. In verse 21, he completely castigates the worldly system of wisdoms because they could not lead to an intimate knowledge of God. Both the system of the Jews and the Greeks were there to lead a person to God, and yet they failed completely in this regard to give an intimate knowledge of God. Paul says that only through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross of Christ can anyone be saved. So therefore, Paul advocated in verse 23 a bold, uncompromising preaching of the cross of Christ. He would not accommodate it to the world of his time, nor should we to the world of our time. He said that the cross of Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews and mere foolishness to the Gentiles. The word that is translated stumbling block here denotes the stick on a trap to which the bait was tied. As the animal approached and grabbed the bait on the trap and tried to pull it off the trap, the stumbling block would cause the trap to snap down and kill the animal. The cross of Christ is to the Jew who will not accept it by faith a death trap because it leads them to the sin of disbelief. But the Gentiles, they had a system of their own which led them to reject Christ. They wanted a rational revelation from God that they could completely understand with their human mind and disregarded the message of faith. When Paul came preaching the message of a Savior who was crucified on a cross, they shrank back and said, "Oh no, anything but that." They couldn't accept it with their minds. The message of the cross of Christ must be accepted with the heart. But Paul said we are not to try to make it palatable to our world, nor did he to his, nor are we to try to accommodate the message of the cross to worldly system of wisdom. We are to preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Preach the wisdom of the gospel of Christ in the cross. The message of the cross is the only way man can be saved. Throughout history, men have tried to make the world better, to bring men up to their standard through humanitarian causes. J. Richard Green, the noted English historian, went down into the east section of London that was full of slums. He was determined that through his own work, through his own philanthropy, that he was going to clean up this horrible section of the city of London. He opened libraries, taught classes, cleansed the streets, improved the homes, and he fed the hungry. But after 10 years, he threw his hands into the air, and he lamented, and he said, "What's the use? They'll go on drinking. They'll go on gambling. They'll go on until the end of time." William Booth and his wife Catherine went down into this very same section of the city of London. They began to preach the power of the cross of Christ to redeem men and to change their lives. What happened? Lives were redeemed. Drunkards became sober. Gamblers were converted into honest men. Homes that were hell holes became little bits of heaven right here on earth. And all of this because of the preaching of the Christ and His blood that was shed on the cross. There is redeeming power. There is restoring potency in the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ expresses the wisdom of God. But the question is, which system of wisdom will you base your life on this morning? Will you base your life on a worldly frame of wisdom that leaves man utterly lost in his sin and bound for an eternal hell? Or will you, as the Apostle Paul, choose the message of the cross as the wisdom of God? It's the best wisdom there is. It is the only wisdom that we should stake our lives on. The wisdom of God as expressed in the cross, because we're saved by the cross of Christ. My prayer this morning is that you will keep the cross of Christ central in your ministry. If you're called to the music ministry, then proclaim the message of the cross through your music. if you're called to the educational ministry, teach men to receive the message of the cross. If you're called to the pastorate, proclaim boldly, uncompromisingly, the message of the cross. If you're called to missionary service, either at home or abroad, proclaim the message of Christ. Whatever God has called you to do, keep the message of the cross central in your ministry. Some Christian missionaries visited Mahatma Gandhi when he was on one of his numerous fasts. And Mahatma Gandhi asked them to sing a hymn for him. Which one? The one that expresses all that is deepest in your faith. The missionaries stepped back, thought for a moment. And then they sang with full hearts. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. May this be our song, our sermon, our very heartbeat. May it never be said of those of us who have passed through this seminary that we left here trusting in our own wisdom, boasting in our own intelligence, being prideful of our own accomplishments. May it never be said of us that we left here preaching anything but what the Word of God has called us to preach, Christ crucified. Amen.